I appreciate that the word of the Lord today speaks to those of us who have a problem with hair. That in the resurrection, none of our hair will perish. So I am looking forward to that resurrected body and what will be on top. But that's not the heart of my homily for today. It's the next thing that Jesus says that I want to focus on. At the end of today's gospel, Jesus says that if you endure, you will gain your souls. To endure to gain our souls. This is at the very heart of today's not only gospel reading, but as we come to the end of the liturgical year, the church calls us to a particular kind of endurance. Because we all know very well that life is difficult and challenging. If we could dim the lights up here. I'm going to be using some images today to convey the theme of the homily. The story is told of a man who found the cocoon of this particular kind of moth. It's called an emperor moth, and it can only be found in the British Isles. He brought the cocoon home, and for a couple of hours, he was fascinated to see the moth break through the shell, the cocoon. But then he began to be sympathetic for this moth because it was having trouble. So he thought, I'm going to help alleviate this moth's suffering. And what he did was he took the scissors and cut away the rest of the cocoon. Sadly, this is what came out. For you see, what had happened in the process of not allowing for the right kind of suffering was that the fluid that was in the body of the moth could only then be sent into the wings through the pain of coming out of the cocoon. And so this moth could never fly. It had a bloated body and wings that could not do what they were supposed to do. I've used this image to begin my homily today because there's something about the centrality of suffering that Jesus speaks to in today's gospel. I think sometimes we can have this thought. You know, if God is for real, and if God truly loves us, why is there so much suffering in the world? It would seem to make more sense to us from our perspective that it should be easier to live our life in this world. But here's what I want you to consider today. What if this world is to us what the cocoon is to be for the emperor moth? That the cocoon of this world is the very place where yours and my soul is being formed. And we have it on the highest authority, on the authority of God himself, that the thing that matters most in life is gaining our souls. Gaining that part of who you are and I am that is eternal. And will in the resurrection be joined to a resurrected body. It struck me when reading today's gospel how, in a way, surprising it is. Think about the context. This is the last week of Jesus' earthly life. He's about to go to his death, his resurrection, and then his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And one would think, wow, with all of that ahead of us, aren't things going to go well for us in our life with Christ? And one of the things that's happening as Jesus is with the apostles and other disciples, they're on the Mount of Olives, which is directly opposite from the Jerusalem temple. And as they are there on the Mount of Olives, they look across and they see this. This is a depiction of what the Jerusalem temple would have looked like. By the time Jesus speaks this word, the temple had been under construction for 50 years, and it wasn't yet done. And you can understand that the disciples are saying, what a building. Not just one building, it was many buildings. And as we see in the other depictions, here is a representation, a model of the temple. We get a sense of what this complex was like. And then if we see particularly the up close shot here of the temple itself, you need to appreciate that for the Jewish people, the temple was more than a building. For the Jewish people, the temple was a microcosm of the universe. And I don't have time to go into the detail of the interior of the temple, but everything on the interior of the temple represented the constellations. It represented God's work in and through creation. And so that you can understand that for the Jewish people, if the temple is destroyed, do you know what that means for them? Our world has come to an end. Our world has come to an end. So here we are around the year 30 AD. And Jesus prophesies, I tell you that not one stone will be left upon another. This building is going to be destroyed. And indeed that happened between the years 68 and 70 AD. And the only part of the temple that still stands is called the Western Wall, where devout Jews go day after day to pray. And what is striking is when the apostles, who you can imagine, as I have, how surprised they must have been when Jesus said, this building is going to come tumbling down. And they said, well, Lord, how, when, what? How is this possible? And what Jesus says next is actually very unsettling. Because if you listen to these words, this is not a very good way to bring about a recruitment campaign to get more people to join your organization. So this is what Jesus offers. You will hear of wars and insurrections. Do not be terrified. These must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately. Now listen to that, the end. He's not talking at this point about the second coming. He's talking about the end of the temple and what that will mean for a Jewish person. But he said, you're going to hear about these wars. The end hasn't come yet. Then nation's going to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be great earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues. There'll be dreadful portents and great signs from the heaven. If you read Josephus, the first century Jewish historian who was not a Christian, he actually talks about all of the kinds of things that happened from the time of Jesus' prediction through to the destruction of the temple. And all of these things happened. But then Jesus gets a little bit more specific. Now, all of this is going to happen in the world. And boys, for you, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be arrested. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be handed over from the synagogue. Some of you will be put in prison. You're going to be brought before kings, and some of you are going to be killed. And then after that, Jerusalem's going to be attacked, and the temple's going to fall, and a million people are going to be murdered. I don't know about you, this does not sound like good news. But it is. Because at the very heart of this story is God. And one of the things that I know I need to do in my life is I have to reorientate my expectations of what life is like in this world. Of course, we are to always work for peace. We are always to be those who manifest in our lives what it is to follow the Prince of Peace. But we live in a world that is filled with such heartache, such pain, such difficulty, because we are in the cocoon. The church, in reflecting on this reading, does then tie it into the second coming of Christ, which is a theme that we will be looking at in more detail in the days to come. But I would like to take a minute now to make the bridge between the destruction of the temple and that catastrophe with the second coming by looking at that passage from the prophet Malachi. Malachi is the last prophet of the Old Testament. He wrote this about 400 years before Jesus. And it's in the fourth chapter. This is the last chapter of the prophetic writings of the Old Testament. And listen to what it says about the second coming. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that they will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. This is very important. The manifestation of the God is the same for both the wicked and the righteous. But to the one, his holiness appears like a burning fire that burns them up like stubble. To those who are described here as the ones who revere my name, his coming will be like the sun. And with it, there will be, as it says, healing in its wings. When Jesus says, if we endure to the end, we will gain our souls, what he means is this, exactly what Malachi prophesied 400 years before he came, that there will be this final and permanent healing, and everything will be restored. And as we read in other parts of the Bible, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. So how does the Catholic Church hold together this understanding of the destruction of the Jerusalem temple, which is an anticipation of Christ's second coming? This is from the Catechism, paragraph number 677. And here we read these words. The church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover, when she will follow her Lord in his death and resurrection. The kingdom will be fulfilled then, not by a historic triumph of the church. I want to pause there for a second. The church isn't going to have a day in this world that, oh, victory has been achieved. There will not be that kind of historic triumph. And I think sometimes as Catholics, we want it to be that way. Here, the official teaching of the Catholic Church says it won't be. Then it goes on to say these words. Through a progressive ascendancy, but only by God's victory over the final unleashing of evil, which will cause his bride to come down from heaven. What a beautiful image. There will be this final victory over evil that will come from heaven when the bride comes down from heaven. This paragraph concludes with these words. God's triumph over the revolt of evil will take the form of the last judgment, after the final cosmic upheaval of this passing world. How helpful it is to have the church teach us so clearly about the second coming. And then we need to ask ourselves the question, well, what does this mean for me then as to how I will live? Jesus said explicitly in today's gospel, how are we called to live? We are to be those who will have opportunity to testify. For you see, the church exists for three reasons: to worship God, to care for the poor, and to testify to Christ. And so what we're called to be in this time, in this place, is a community of hope, a community of trust, a community of compassion, reconciliation, healing, and care. And there's another dimension that St. Paul brings out in today's second reading. I love this bit. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies. There can be a tendency towards that for us today, that we can feel so, in a sense, constricted and afraid by the kind of world that we're living in, that we consume more and more and more social media, and it makes us more and more despondent and discouraged and fearful. God doesn't want that for us. What God wants is us to have the perspective of Christ, to have this kind of a perspective that says, regardless of what we're going through in this world, I choose to live as a witness to Christ, like this woman. This is St. Catherine of Siena, who died at the age of 33 in the year 1380. She was born when the bubonic plague was sweeping through Europe, and she had a profoundly difficult life. She lived at a time in the church where the papacy was in Avignon, and the church was a mess. But what is striking about St. Catherine's life is she understood what Jesus said in today's gospel. If you endure, you will gain your souls. And I want to quote to you now this beautiful thing from St. Catherine, where she is actually speaking to her own soul. Listen to these words. Hope, O my soul, you know neither the day nor the hour. Watch carefully, for everything passes quickly. Even though your impatience makes doubtful what is certain and turns a very short time into a long one. I love this honesty, that she has her doubts. You know, is this faith, this Catholicism real? I'm impatient, and it just seems that nothing's changing. It's just going on and on, the same old world. Listen to what she says next. Dream that the more you struggle, the more you prove the love that you bear your God, and the more you will rejoice one day with your beloved in a happiness and rapture that can never come to an end. A happiness and a rapture that can never come to an end. Why could she live that way? Because St. Catherine realized this is not our destiny. This is. This is what an emperor moth looks like if it suffers. If it goes through the cocoon in the way that it's supposed to and comes out the other end. So that or that. That's what life is all about. Jesus Christ himself told us so. Life is hard. This cocoon is incredibly painful. And at times it seems so meaningless. And how we want to take the scissors to make it less so. But my friends, may we understand what our destiny is. And on this 33rd Sunday of ordinary time, may you and I be encouraged to endure so as to gain our souls.